You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The cream cheese on the bacon, egg, and cheese.
Outstanding. Mm. Don't knock it till you try it, Dev.
I don't think I'm going to try it, though.
You should try it.
I'm not going to try
Get
it.
Get involved.
Get involved?
Get involved.
That's not little, being involved?
A little scallion cream cheese on the bacon, egg, and cheese.
I'm telling you,
it's outstanding, man. I'm not saying go heavy. It's just a little bit. Just a little bit to give you some lubricant.
A light schmear.
There
and
you go.
I didn't appreciate both of you dissing my hot sauce suggestion for a bacon, egg, and cheese. You acted so repulsed by that.
Yeah, I'm repulsed.
No, I'm not repulsed by it.
There's some repulsed.
That's just not the way I would fly. But I'm not repulsed by it. I'm a hot sauce fan.
Thank you.
I mean, listen, if I had a purse, I'd be like Beyonce. I had a hot sauce in my purse.
Swag.
There you go. Maybe I'm looking at getting a merce.
So you should get a merce.
From a hot sauce.
You could rock a merce.
I could rock a merce?
I think so, for sure.
You got to have a lot of swag to pull that off, though.
You got it.
Like, I don't know if I had
You're a 6'8", 350-pound NFL player. You can pull it off.
I don't know, though. I don't have the same kind of confidence that Unk has. Shannon Sharp, he's got the merce.
Yeah.
But he's got the swag to pull off the merce.
I think I'm going to do it.
I don't know that I could wear the merce.
I'm going to get a merce. I'm going to get a Louis Vuitton merce.
You're going to get a Louis Vuitton merce?
It would look good on me, don't you think?
On Canal Street?
You don't think so? You don't think me and a Louis?
I saw what you did right there.
Is that fake ones?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You see how much them things cost?
No.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
How much is a Louis Vuitton merce?
Standby.
You don't have that ready to go, Smalls? Yeah. Come on
probably
now.
Probably $1,200.
It's four figures.
$1,200? I'll do that.
You would buy
right
a $1,200 merce.
I mean, for the show?
No, seriously.
I'd wear the Louis Vuitton merce.
If you're willing to make that kind of commitment for the show, I appreciate it.
You're not expensing that. That's for sure.
Oh, by the way, as long as you brought that up, I cannot figure out how to expense something. It gets sent back to me every single time I do it.
I try to do that Concur thing.
It is so hard.
I don't understand
Same.
Concur.
I still have not gotten paid.
I can't figure it out.
I got a thing that said paid and approved, but then problems.
I think I know what they're doing, though. They're making it so hard to actually use it for reimbursement.
That you don't want to do it.
Pay out of pocket yourself.
I mean,
because that's literally what I did. It was like I was trying to figure out how to book my flight to the draft in Detroit in late April. I said, you know what? I'm not doing all of this. I bought my own ticket.
I mean,
I literally bought my own ticket.
Are you going to reimburse
it? No, of course they're not going to reimburse me.
No, but they
would.
Not.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not. It's a first class ticket.
Oh, yeah.
He's 6'8".
It's not a flex.
I'm tall.
It's not a flex. I'm 6'8", 350 pounds. What coach seat am I sitting in?
Yeah, he's
the
not
middle
in,
one.
He's not in 32B, okay? Yeah. This man cannot rock 32B.
Listen, if I could get away with taking a picture of somebody's boarding pass and using it to scan to get on an airplane, I would. I don't want to pay for a flight.
Wait, what just happened?
Did you hear the story about that guy that didn't?
No.
Yeah, so there was a guy that was trying to fly standby to get home, didn't get on his flight. And he ended up taking a picture of another passenger's boarding pass, used that to board, and tried to hide out in the airplane lavatory.
Did it work?
Well, they were taxiing, and then the flight attendant found out, and then they had to get back to the gate, and they got him off. That actually happened.
Wait a second.
That actually happened.
Wait, so go back to
I kind of respect it, though.
You respect scamming.
Highly illegal, but I respect it, though. Well, it's scamming, but he was trying to get home. He was on standby for multiple flights, couldn't get on any of them. So
he needed to sleep in his own bed, I guess.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. We've all been there in the airport. If you've ever had a flight delayed, you've been there. When you're trying to get on another plane and standby, yeah, it's nonsense.
I want to understand your flying situation.
The overbooking thing. I don't understand.
How can you overbook? Can you overbook?
You have a certain amount of seats on the plane.
Because they
How
have to
am
assume
I overbooked?
Don't they assume understand. Somebody would change, cancel, don't assume, whatever it is?
You know what they say when you assume, right?
I understand.
Right?
I'm not trying to say I would
you,
do it
you
that way.
You make one out of you and me.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's go back to your flying. 6'8", 350. At what point in your life did you realize I can't fly like everyone else? I'm too big to get on a plane.
So what's interesting is when I was a player, I refused to fly first class. I was poor man's first class, exit row all the way. But as I got
poor man's first class,
yeah, love poor that. Man's first class, yeah, exit okay. row all the way. But, you know, and I'm younger. I'm in my 20s and early 30s, so it's like, all right, I can be uncomfortable for a couple hours. It's not a big thing. As I got into my mid to late 30s, it's like, this is how I'm going to roll. It's got to be first class because I don't want to deal with the nonsense. I don't want to have to fight other passengers for overhead bin space. Mm-hmm. Like, let me just get on the plane first, relax, have a glass of wine, have a beer, whatever, and just kind of settle in and have more room.
When was the last time?
As I gotten older, I felt like it's more of a necessity, not a luxury.
Totally.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever flown first class in my life.
Oh,
ever.
I have.
Okay, you Dan Orlovsky.
One time I flew concierge key on American, which is the highest status that you can have. It was the most amazing travel experience in my entire life.
Why?
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, it's very hard to get.
Concierge key?
I've never even
that's
heard of it.
That's her knowing the I've housewives never even heard and Bravo of that. Yeah, and
that's
like
that. That's the Andy Cohen special yeah. right there.
You show up to the airport, you go to your own private lounge, they're making you omelets. Then they take you in a blacked out car with like beverages and treats on the tarmac to the plane, you board first. They have champagne waiting.
We've done stuff like that.
You get your own pajamas because it was a long flight. It was heavenly.
Your own pajamas?
Oh, yeah. It was like a lay-down bed situation.
Let me write this down. Concierge.
You have to have so many miles and travel so frequently on American. It's like the highest. And by the way.
Where did you fly from? Do you remember that?
I was flying from New York to Hong Kong. And the person I was with was concierge key. So he got me a seat with him. And then on the way home, I was left to my own devices. Middle seat, Bangkok to St. Louis. It was very brutal.
Hold on, so you went there with somebody and then you came back by yourself?
Yeah.
What part of the game is that?
Well, they had to stay there, and then I had to fly back home. Okay, gotcha, so gotcha. It was, let's just say, there was amazing on the way home. That carriage turned into a pumpkin real quick.
That's hard when you do that. Like, when you are flying somewhere one way like that, and then the other way. I mean, like, that's got, like,
hey,
for you.
Jay-Z told us a long time ago. You can't go, once you go to filet mignon, let me say this right. Once you go to filet mignon, you can't go back to Hamburger Helper.
Can't.
But that's got to be weird.
That's in my lifetime, Jay-Z album. Like that's a long time. He told us a long time ago you can't do it.
But
you
that's
got to
be weird
it.
For you, though, because you get perks as an NFL player that are probably through the roof. And then the moment you stop playing, it's like, okay, I can get these perks, but I'm paying for it versus someone else paying for it, right? I mean, you get free gear, free swag, free travel, all this. I mean, you got to risk your body and life and mind, but nonetheless.
Yeah.
That thing.
There are those things.
That thing, whatever. Leave that to the side. But, like, what's the thing that you miss the most about the NFL lifestyle?
The police escort.
Explain.
Oh.
Well, I mean, the police escort to and from the stadium.
No traffic.
No traffic. Like especially being from the tri-state. I'm from the Bronx. Like, I live in the city now. Like, like traffic on the West Side Highway or the FDR can be on smash. You're only going 2 or 3 miles, but it can take you an hour to get there. Like, I remember when I was playing police escort everywhere. When you travel with the team, you got all of the police cars blocking traffic so you can go through. Like, I mean, you get to places in a second, in a heartbeat. So not having the police escort is one of those things that hurts. Like, that was actually one of my favorite things about going to Kentucky Derby is having the police escort from my hotel to Galt House to Churchill Downs.
How did you get that?
Well, I mean, I knew a guy that was the unofficial mayor of Louisville, and he organizes the Derby for a lot of celebrities, and that was one of the things. That was one of the perks for rolling with my man Joey Wagner. Like, he was just like, it was the police escort from the Galt House to Churchill Downs, which is pretty freaking awesome.
That's luxury on another level, to have police escort to where you want to go.
The police escort is the flex, man. When
Big
you got
time.
The police escort, it's so presidential, Small. The police escort is so
presidential. Are you
that
driving down the West Side Highway?
The most. I never thought about it till you asked the question.
More
that
than the private like plane, more than the food, more than anything like that?
Because it's so exclusive. Like, think about it. You could have all the money in the world and still not be able to swing the police escort.
Totally.
Like, think about how exclusive that is.
You have to be very connected.
You have to be connected to have the police escort.
They have to deem you worthy enough.
That's what I'm saying.
Escort.
Like, you know, like when the presidents are in New York City, how they block off traffic, a gridlock alert. You know why? Because they got that police escort, cuz. Mm-hmm. It is awesome.
Okay, for those who like to eat like myself, which is probably many of the people out there, can you just walk us through, just so we can dream, what it's like NFL, you get there on a practice day. Like, what kind of food is there all day for you guys?
What do you mean?
Like, private chefs, everything like that?
It has gotten better. Like, when I first came into the league, it wasn't great. It was like cafeteria food that was brought in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how it was. And it was, it was cafeteria that was brought in. Now, that was the old Cowboys facility, Valley Ranch. Since then, I'm sure they've upgraded and modernized it to keep up with the times. But, like, when I got to the Giants, they had a brand new practice facility. They had, like, three or four chefs, and they were hooking it up, whether it's breakfast, lunch. They had take-home dinners for you if you needed that. And it was the same way in Baltimore. So that's more the norm. But it's a really good menu. And, of course, because, you know, you're an investment, it's good food.
It's healthy.
It's not a lot of junk. Like, when I was in Baltimore, like, they'd have burgers, but it would be like bison burgers.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? And it would taste good. It would taste – you wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, that was pretty awesome to not have to worry about breakfast, lunch, or dinner when you were in season.
And the gear? Tons of gear at all times?
With the teams that I played for, yes. With every franchise, no. There are some franchises that are notoriously cheap with gear.
You want to share?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you would probably know them if you knew them. Like, the Arizona Cardinals used to be that way when I was in the league. The Cincinnati Bengals used to be that way when I was in the league. Like, those are a couple of the teams that were notorious for being cheap. They would give you a couple pairs of socks, a couple of undershirts, and that was what you had for the whole season. Anything else was payroll deduct.
And that's the way now, tickets are,
those
right?
are stories from secondhand because I never played for those teams, but I'm just saying. Like, that was the word on the street.
But that's the way tickets are, correct?
Like, tickets are payroll
explain
deduct.
Explain that how that works.
So for every home game, you get three complimentary tickets, and then anything above that, you got to pay for them yourself, payroll deduct. On the road, you got to pay for everything. You got to pay for all the tickets.
And so the players that would have a suite, it's payroll deduct?
Yes.
Like Joe Burrow had the suite for...
That's payroll deduct. They're not giving that away.
And they don't give them a discount on that.
Oh, hell no. Not as far as I... Like, I think that would be an improper benefit, too. That would be against
salary
the salary
cap circumvention.
Yeah, exactly.
So they have their price for average everyday person or business for a suite, and Joe Burrow says, I'd like one. And then they say, cool, you make $10 million a, I'm making up numbers, $10 million a year minus the suite.
Yes.
That is amazing.
Them suites ain't cheap, cuz.
Are there any other perks?
Them suites ain't cheap.
Are there any other perks that you can talk about?
There are other perks. I don't know if they come from the team. There are perks, all right. There are perks. There's a lot of perks.
Where is Fortune Life?
I'm married now. Wasn't always. There are perks. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
10-8, Padres up on the Dodgers right now. In the top of the sixth inning, Smalls could tell that I couldn't see.
Yeah, sorry, I was trying to give you the assist there.
I could tell
it was around the corner.
I've usually had good eyesight. Now I'm nervous about my eyesight.
You know, you could actually just turn it over to Smalls and let her give the update.
Smalls, over to you.
There you go.
Yeah, the Padres on top. They're defeating the Dodgers right now, 10-8. Top of the sixth, one out. Jerks and Profar at the plate.
How did I get a baseball in my hand here?
Well, we got a baseball now because it's baseball season. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I didn't even know we had this.
Yeah.
All right. So in theory, the Sol series that's going on right now between the Dodgers and the Padres, seen on ESPN, should be the biggest story in baseball, the beginning of the season. Unfortunately, it's not for Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball, but one of the players involved with it is the center of attention right now. Per ESPN.com, I will read you. Shohei Ohtani's interpreter was fired Wednesday after questions were raised after ESPN viewed at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation. Ipei Mituzara ran up gambling debts to a Southern California bookmaking operation that is under federal investigation, multiple sources told ESPN. On Tuesday, as ESPN prepared to run a story of the wire transfers, Ohtani spokesman said that the player had transferred the funds to cover Mituzara's gambling debt. On Wednesday, the same spokesman for Ohtani issued a statement saying, quote, in the course of responding to recent media inquiries, we discovered that Shohei has been the victim of a massive theft, and we are turning the matter over to authorities, end quote. So basically, what we're seeing here is that there's a $4.5 million gambling debt for his interpreter. Initially, the interpreter spoke to ESPN.com, Tisha Thompson, discussed what happened and how Ohtani helped him out in paying off the debt. And the next day, it was now claimed to be a crime.
Yeah, that's the part of this that doesn't pass. Well, that's one of the parts of this that doesn't pass the smell test for me. Think about it from Tisha Thompson's standpoint, from ESPN's standpoint. Journalistic integrity is so important. Making sure you get a story of this magnitude absolutely right. And so for it to come out that it was set up to be reported one way, and then the Dodgers and Ohtani and his interpreter to walk it back and say that it went down a different way just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, Smalls. And that's why I just think there are so many other things that are going to come out regarding this story and people potentially being involved, people being complicit in the behavior of the interpreter, Mitsuhara. I just think that this is absolutely awful, a nightmare scenario for Rob Manfred, their commissioner, because you have the biggest player of the sport essentially being linked through 6 degrees of separation to the third rail in all of professional sports, which is gambling and player involvement with gambling.
Yeah, I think you're right. Unfortunately, this isn't going anywhere anytime soon because of the confusing nature of the details, because of the person it involves in Shohei Ohtani, and the avenue with which we're talking about it with gambling. This is, as you mentioned, nightmare fuel for Rob Manfred. For somebody who has taken a lot of heat as the commissioner of Major League Baseball, to be coming off a season in which you garnered all of this goodwill, you made changes to the rules, the pace of play is up, people are loving it. We saw more people watching baseball games than they had been in past last year, going to games at a higher clip than they were in years past because of things that you implemented. And then you have this exciting offseason where there's player movement and the Dodgers are acquiring all these stars. And the number one star in your league, in Shohei Ohtani, all of a sudden is caught up in a situation where there's questions about someone that's connected to him regarding gambling. This is the last thing any sport needs, but especially Major League Baseball.
So the what in this, or alleged what, let me rephrase, the alleged what in this is a big deal, right? The gambling, the debt, et cetera. It feels like the three of us and many people, we talked to Damian Woody about this, NFL analyst who was all fired up about this as well. It feels like the thing that's jumping out at most people is that the story changed.
Yes.
Now, what the story is important, but that the story changed from he helped out a friend to it's a crime in back-to-back days is where all of our minds go racing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a part of it, but also I don't have very many friends where I'm comfortable covering $4.5 million of gambling debt either. Like, that's the part that doesn't make sense either, because this is his interpreter. This is technically an employee of the Dodgers, but in reality, it's his Shohei Ohtani's guy. He right. works at his behest.
Yeah,
and
very
so
close.
It doesn't make sense to keep somebody that could be that much of a liability around, especially when that person is privy to all of this information around you and your team. Like, think about it. If this person has such a big issue with gambling on professional sports to the tune of $4.5 million of debt, then why would you think he wouldn't betray any of the information that he's privy to by being your interpreter to the bookies, the bookmakers that he's in debt to? That becomes, again, a liability. So if you're Shohei Ohtani, why would you continue to keep somebody like that around? Now, that's assuming that he was aware of it, which is how it was first reported.
But can I jump in on one thing on this? I want to make sure I understand the timeline, because the way you just laid it out, I don't think I thought about. So you're saying he found out about this and then still kept him until it became public?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure I understood that part of it. I didn't realize that part.
Yeah. Also, I know that the reports are out there that they're very close, that they're very close friends. But even in helping a friend by giving him $4.5 million to cover these gambling debts, you know, if you're Shohei Ohtani and this is something that is involved in any way, shape, or form with gambling and you're connected to it, even if you're just giving someone money, that's a huge risk that you're going to incur.
No doubt. And here's the thing, Ev, you were asking about the timeline.
Right.
There is a wire transfer, two wire transfer payments of $500,000 sent last September and October.
So there's been
some time.
Yeah.
So if you knew about it, which is how Tisha Thompson initially was set to report it, and you still kept this guy around, again, this represents a huge liability for not only you, but for the Dodgers and for Major League Baseball as a whole. Because this guy sees behind the curtain. He's in all the meetings. He's at all the practices. He's his interpreter. He knows everything there needs to know about the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If he has that kind of debt, why would we think that he wouldn't betray any of that information? Why are we to assume or believe that Matsuhara is not betting on baseball when he's betting on all of these other professional sports? It clearly has a problem because it's millions of dollars a day.
But, CeCe, you're talking, and maybe you're going to say, okay, this is everyday life. I think there's part of this that is Ohtani is such an enormous brand right now that there is a Drake no new friends kind of thing.
Mm.
Like, you unfortunately, even if you think that's a ride or die, you're too big of a brand to be loyal to somebody that just came up within the last few years. This guy just came into his life in 2018, right? Like, you think it's a ride or die, but like, I got to kind of break it off a little bit, right? Because I'm thinking about, hey, if this is your lifelong friend, if this is an A1 since day one, and this is a guy that you've been with forever, you're going to have his back, pay off a couple of debts, and hope he gets his life in order, put him in rehab, whatever it is. I'm saying in a perfect world.
Yeah, it's a couple of debts, and then there's $4.5 million.
Here's
the other part. If I realize he's got that kind of problem, then I need to make sure that there's enough separation between church and state. Like, I can't have you messing up how I make my money.
Right.
And you having this kind of debt while you continue to work as an employee of the LA Dodgers, that's not going to end well for anybody. So at the very least, I'm going to fire you. I still might take care of you, but we need to report this, and it needs to be a hell of a lot sooner than late March when this is something that has clearly been going on for at least the last 6 to 8 months.
I still don't – like, the why he would take care of him part – in this specific scenario is still where I have a lot of questions.
Why?
Because I know that they're very close, but still, knowing that I'm going to give you $4.5 million and there's going to be a transfer, there's going to be documents that go to this. And when people find out why, there are going to be a lot of questions that are coming at me. This isn't a bad real estate investment type situation.
Right.
There are going to be huge spotlights that are coming my way as Shohei Ohtani, the face of baseball, because I'm lending you this money to cover a gambling debt. And that's where I just can't really wrap my head around wanting to take that on if you're Shohei Ohtani, even though you're really close with this person.
So you're saying if you're close with the person, you want to look out for the person, they have this kind of debt, you're that level of celebrity by like Ohtani, if you're going to use your money to help this person, allegedly, you need to use your money to put the person into a rehab program to get the help he needs versus paying off the debts.
Yeah, I'm not just going to pay it off. There's going to be stipulations to this so that if asked about this, I have all the documentation that I need to prove that I had nothing to do with this.
Well, the other part of this that's fascinating is that all of this is to a bookmaker in Southern California. And, Ev, you brought up the point that sports wagering in California is basically prohibited. It's illegal. I mean, unless you're at a tribal casino or horse racing or it's a part of the California State Lottery, it's illegal.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is not in a Vegas casino.
Yeah, this is no sport. Like, there's not supposed to be any sports gambling in the state of California. And he owes all of his money to a California sports bookmaker.
Right. There was another story recently. Bruno Mars, the singer, allegedly has a debt to a book in Vegas.
MGM, yeah.
But that, so they can do whatever they want, legal, whatever it is, but that's to a legal place that, like, he owes the money to.
Yeah.
In this specific case, yeah, it's to some dude that's, like, on a corner, which makes it a little bit more dangerous. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is time for a round of positive programming with Smalls, brought to you by Skechers Footwear, stylish comfort for men, women, and kids. Certainly a positive day with the first day of the NCAA tournament today, and Smalls is smiling. We learned yesterday she's very proud of her teeth, and that's her only flex, that she always likes telling everybody she has great teeth.
No,
she flexed again, though. The concierge key travel from American Airlines, that was a flex, too.
No.
She flexed today.
To be clear, I was a guest of someone, and then I had to fly middle seat economy on the way home.
No, it's also a flex.
To be clear, I had never even heard of it.
Right.
Concierge key?
Never even heard of it.
Well, it's not like I was flying private. You too.
I was on his plane. Yeah,
yeah, no, that's a lie. That's what I'm saying.
My plane? That's a lie.
Yeah, so that's not really a flex.
What were you saying?
That's not really a flex.
What were you saying?
Not really a flex. Like, me having no cavities, that's an actual flex because I am the one that contributed to that greatness.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Me being a plus one. Well, what? At this stage of my life, in my 30s, no cavities? That's great.
That's outstanding.
Thank you. I'm a dentist dream. I probably should floss more, but anyway, back to some positive programming. Okay, let's put a little smile on our face. Shout out to Skechers. I was just on the website. Martha Stewart, the face of Skechers, didn't know that. Yeah. What can she not do? Right. Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition, she's everywhere. But friend of the show, Bruce Pearl, over the weekend, he and the Auburn Tigers, they won the SEC championship game over the Florida Gators. It was an emotional moment for Pearl after the game as he was missing his biggest fan who was there to celebrate with him, but he spun it in a positive way as he spoke to our Marty Smith.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Congratulations. Your team is the Southeastern Conference Tournament champion. What about this accomplishment moved you to tears? What is it about this accomplishment that moved you to tears?
I lost my dad in August. He was my biggest fan. This is for these kids. But how about the way Auburn showed up today? But for me, I got to think of my father. And I'm just happy for the players, and we played great. Florida's a terrific opponent. That's why I'm so emotional. I wish he was here.
What were the most important lessons your dad taught you that you carry with you every day?
He worked hard. My dad worked 6 days a week. He prayed on the seventh. We didn't have a lot, but we had enough. I thought my dad was the best. So I wish every kid had that. And that's one of the reasons why I'm hard on these guys. My dad held me to a high standard, and I hold these guys to a high standard.
That's how I know Bruce Pearl.
How?
His dad.
How?
His dad lived in Boynton Beach, Florida, which is where I lived for a long period of time. And when I was on ESPN West Palm doing a local show, we're on right now on ESPN West Palm, his dad, unbeknownst to me, listened to my show.
Wow.
And I got connected to Bruce through a couple of different people, but his dad was a fan. I had no idea.
Wow.
His dad was wonderful. Wonderful. And when Bruce was the coach of Tennessee, he did a big event in Palm Beach County, like a recruiting booster event that his dad was at and kind of set up for him. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I heard this interview over the weekend, and that's what made Auburn a heart over head pick for me in the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give away too much, but I actually have Auburn coming out of the Eastern region to get to the Final Four.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll pick it. I like teams that win their conference tournaments, too.
Me
like
too.
Teams are playing their best, getting hot at the right time.
Like Illinois?
Yeah.
When you say you don't want to give up too much, you just gave up everything.
Totally.
You just gave up the entire pick, which is fine.
No, I didn't. What do you mean I gave up?
You gave up. We know you're going to pick Auburn now.
Well, do you know whether or not I'm going to pick them to win the whole thing?
I will find out coming up.
Exactly. Exactly. I just gave just a little bit.
Little breadcrumb.
Little peek.
Just
get a little peek.
No,
I like that. That's what we call a tease in the biz.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay tuned for more.
There you go.
But I love that vulnerability from Bruce Pearl and sharing that after the game, because a lot of people can relate to that. And when there's something bigger than you that you feel like you're coaching for or playing for, that is really meaningful and special. All right, next one. The Eagles put out a video showcasing their new player, Saquon Barkley, his first 24 hours with his new team. And in this, he shared a story about his daughter that got a lot of people laughing. Here's what he had to say.
But my daughter, funny story with her, she knows there's a lot of history in my career with the Eagles. I remember one time when I was with the Giants and we lost to Philly in the playoffs, we went to diner to get some breakfast and there was a bird. And she was like, "Daddy, oh no, oh no." And I'm like, "What is it?" She points to the bird and she was like, "It's the Eagles, it's the Eagles." And me and Anna you know, we just started laughing. I just put my head down. I just kind of start shaking. So when I told her that we're going to be going to Philly, she kind of was just like, does that mean we're going to win now? And I just started smiling again. And I was like, hopefully we can win some more games here.
Saquon Barkley's daughter happy about the move to Philly because she thinks that means that her dad's going to win now.
Does that mean we're going to win now? That is amazing.
That is amazing.
You okay with that as a Giants?
Kids tell the truth now.
They do.
Kids will tell you the truth about yourself. I mean, just saying. The last time the Giants won the division, I was on the team. It's been a long time.
You know,
it's been a long time. Long time, Smalls.
His daughter's comments were the takeaway for everybody.
Yes.
I want to point out one other takeaway that I now am a bigger fan of Saquon Barkley. Going to the diner. Well done. Well done. I like, if you're going to live in the Northeast specifically,
yeah,
you got to have a go-to diner.
Big diner, right? Culture here.
I love the diner. It's great. You don't like the diner?
You got to make sure you got the right diner.
Oh, no.
There are some diners. Like, the diner experience is not equal, right? All diners are not created equal. So you got to have the right diner. That's all I'm going to say.
Where are we on a diner for a date?
We already have a plan for a diner.
No, I don't mean for us. I'm saying for someone. I mean someone taking
you
out
mean like
somebody.
Like a romantic
interest?
Yeah,
a romantic interest date. Like, hey, we're going to go on a first date. We're going to go to a diner.
No, not a first date. Second or third date maybe, but not the first date.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to go there for breakfast, no?
Yeah.
Well,
you want to go there for dinner.
Well, it depends on how the first date goes. It could be first date extended.
Guess it went really well.
We're going to breakfast the next morning.
I got this great diner.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Then it is
so
a second date.
What you about to do? You know, this is a great diner.
So one of my telltales that a diner is going to be good is when they hand you the menu and it's a little sticky.
Yep.
It has the syrup on it.
Oh, there's also other things.
That, though.
Usually the food hits though when the menu is a little sticky.
Pickles and coleslaw.
What do you mean?
At the diner when they bring you the pickles and coleslaw first before anything else, that's when you know it. You don't know what I'm talking about with the pickle.
Mm-mm.
Oh, good diners.
I'm going for breakfast.
I know, but like around lunch or dinner,
yeah,
just,
yeah,
like bread at a restaurant, yeah, they'll go pickles and coleslaw. Yeah, it's tremendous. It's
really good. So that's pickles and coleslaw.
I've never had that experience in my life.
You've never had that, Pat?
No.
When you go for lunch or dinner, yeah.
Yes, they'll bring exactly. It out.
Mm-hmm. Why would you just want a bowl of coleslaw?
It's like having like a little mini salad kind of thing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Little...
Except it's coleslaw, not salad.
I like coleslaw.
I like the vinegar-based coleslaw.
Correct.
Not the mayonnaise-based coleslaw.
Either one.
The mayo-based one is sick.
I can't do the mayonnaise-based one. The vinegar one, I'm cool with.
Me too.
I could eat pickles all day, so I love the pickles.
Oh, I love pickles.
Pickles are amazing.
Whenever you are eating a sandwich with someone and they don't want their pickle, that's like the best person that you can have as a lunch companion, because
then you
get the pickle.
No doubt.
What else you got?
Okay, next
positive
one.
Positive programming brought to you by Skechers.
Positive programming. Okay, yeah, so.
And Pat found a way to make it negative.
Yeah, what was that? Anti-coleslaw. How dare you? Go ahead, Small.
Well, that's Pat's thing, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to be positive. Pat's a negative guy. He can't help himself. Okay, so Dan Monson, Long Beach State head coach. This is a negative that has been turned into a positive. He sat down yesterday at the Delta Center ahead of Long Beach State's matchup with Arizona for his pre-NCAA tournament news presser. And this one made some headlines. Why? Because he was fired. And then still is continuing to coach because Long Beach punched their ticket to the tournament. He ended up getting them to the tournament. So he's coaching, in essence, for free. Here's what Dan Monson had to say, and it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't have to answer anything I don't want to because I'm working for
free today. So it's like you guys see the Seinfeld when George Costanza was trying to get fired and couldn't lose his job and still going to work every day and... That's me. Is it an opening statement? Was that it? What do we got going?
Yeah, well, I think you nailed it, Coach. We'll go ahead and start with questions right here, please.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, Dan Monson has had a really good coaching career, Gonzaga and Minnesota, and now Long Beach State for, 17 years, if I'm not mistaken? But he is going to be remembered for this. And how perfectly he has handled getting fired in front of everyone.
I'm rooting for him to have the upset against Arizona and to make it to the Sweet 16, because if he does that, he's probably going to get a job somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, like it'll be Long Beach making the biggest mistake they've ever made, like him being able to go on his Cinderella run in the conference tournament, winning in the NCAA tournament, upsetting a number 2 seed and potentially getting to the Sweet 16. I'm rooting for that storyline to happen. When a guy is talking about him not knowing how to pay his mortgage or his car payment a week from now, And he said, it doesn't matter because I'm in this moment with these guys. Mm-hmm. Like that, like to me, how could you not root for that guy?
No.
How could you not root for him?
You have to. This is such positive programming to me because so many people would be in their emotions about getting fired and then having success afterwards and still being in this position where they're working for an employer who fired them. And he has handled this with such grace and such humor. I could not tip my cap to him anymore.
Do we think that they're the number one team that the masses are rooting for in the NCAA tournament? Like, nobody agrees on anything when it comes to picking brackets or rooting for a specific team, right?
Yeah.
You're rooting for Illinois. You were rooting for Virginia. I'm rooting for Wisconsin, where we went to school, or all of us. And then, like, we're rooting for our brackets. Do we feel like everyone's rooting for Long Beach State? Are they the most popular team somehow in this year's tournament?
We're all Team Dan Monson.
Yeah, we're all kind of Team Dan. And by the way, maybe he deserved to get fired. Maybe he didn't. I'm not going to sit here and claim I know enough about Long Beach State basketball. But I think we're all rooting for this guy now.
I am, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Without a doubt.
1,000%.
All right, anything else, Smalls?
Nope, that's it.
All right, positive programming brought to you by Skechers Footwear, stylish comfort for men, women, and kids, where somehow, ladies and gentlemen, Pat Costello took positive programming and made it negative. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by Applebee's. Download the Tournament Challenge app and fill out your men's and women's brackets now.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio with Michelle Smallman and Chris Canty. Oh, and Evan Cohen is deciding to come back into the studio and join us as well.
Yeah, you out there holding court in the green room.
Yeah, I was actually.
I know you were.
Good crew.
You tried to hide it behind going to recruit legs to come on the show at a 9 o'clock hour to turn into the Evan show out there outside of the studio when it should be the Unsportsmanlike show right here, right now.
I'll give you the crew.
What's up?
It was me, Kmart. We were talking about boy bands again.
Okay.
We were talking about Brian Luttrell from Backstreet Boys. That's not a joke. Jess Mendoza, Damian Woody, and Tim Legler. And I said to Legs, what, 3 days in a row too much? He goes, I had a couple other things to do. So we got blown off by Legs.
That's okay.
Granted, we had him on. What are you doing?
You were late.
Oh. You want to go first then?
Late. Sure.
Okay.
I don't have any cash on me, but.
Sir.
And have you paid all of your, when you come back?
I paid all of my debts and some. I put a 20 in there the last time.
I only have a 20. I'm not putting a 20
in. There you go. Put a 20 in.
I'm not putting a 20 in.
You should put a 20 in. You were late.
I need change then.
You were late.
What do we have? How much money
do we have? I think there's 150 bucks in there. Count it up. I think there's 150.
Smalls, for some reason, put an enormous amount of money in this.
Well, because of the Chiefs. I said I'd 87.
Yeah, the 87.
And then I just threw in 100.
We have 150.
So actually.
Anybody have change of a 20?
Actually, I'm.
Why 10?
I have a $13 buffer, so I'm good.
Cover some of your bags. Takes which you are bound to have over the next few weeks.
I have to prepay $10 for bad takes?
It wouldn't be the first time.
How did I lose money out of trying to get us a guest?
Because it went beyond just trying to get us a guest, and it went to you having a show.
How could you have seen talking about Brian Luttrell?
Yeah. Exactly. How was that trying to get us a guest?
Thank you, Pat.
Wait, how did you see me in there?
Well, I saw you talking here and in our control room. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Accountability.
Ken Lavica, ESPN West Palm, voice of FAU, here on Sportsmanlike.
I like that.
Exactly. Accountability.
There's standards that need to be set.
There's a price to friendship.
There you go.
And I guess that's the price.
Can you explain one thing? Because yesterday, the NFL proposed these rule changes. Mm-hmm. What does a drop tackle mean? Can you explain what that means? Because we use that a lot, and nobody knows what that means.
Yeah, so a drop tackle is when a defender is chasing behind a receiver, and rather than trying to horse collar, you grab around the waist, and then you drop your full body weight on the back of their legs. Mm. So it has a similar impact to a horse tackle or horse collar in terms of jeopardizing a lower body injury from the downward force, but it's just your body falling on the back of an offensive player's legs. So that's not necessarily good. That's what leads to a lot of injuries. So that's a drop tackle. But at some point, you have to acknowledge that football is a dangerous sport and guys are going to get hurt.
How do you tackle anymore? Because, like,
that's the point. They're going to allow drop tackles to continue. They're not going to eliminate it because, yeah, again, you've got strike zones for not only quarterbacks, but for receivers when they're catching the ball. There are all these defensive player rules geared toward the offensive skill positions. And so they've got to be able to have a way for defenders that are in pursuit of players that might be behind an offensive guy to be able to bring them down. And that's why I think they got rid of the horse collar tackle, but they're not going to get rid of drop tackles.
The other thing that they propose here is with these kickoffs that I got to be honest, it's hard for me to even understand all of these rules. There's so many rules that they're proposing here. The fourth quarter, onside kick with notification, the nobody moving on the kickoff. The kicker continues to kick from the 35-yard line. Other 10 players would line up at the receiving team's 40. At least 9 members of the return team would line up in a setup zone. It feels like what I was just in to start the segment, between the 35 and 30-yard line. Up to 2 returners can line up in a landing zone between the goal line and 20-yard line, and only the kicker or returners can move until the ball hits the ground or a player inside the landing zone. I'm sorry, CeCe, I don't understand this.
Yeah, I was never a core four special teams guy, so I don't know the implications of all of this, but it's clear that they're trying to make sure that there's a focus on maintaining player safety, but also not jeopardizing the entertainment quality of the overall sport.
But if I said to you that there was one rule in the NFL that we needed to discuss that had to change, I always thought...
I know what it would be. Yours is the touchback rule.
Yeah, I always thought that was agreed upon.
Fumbling the ball into your opponent's end zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But wasn't that agreed upon that, like, hey, we need to discuss that? And that's not even on the list of things here. What am I missing on this?
Well, I know with the kickoff and the alignment, some of that stuff had been used in the XFL, so they have data points to suggest why they think it would translate well at the NFL level, and maybe that's why they are making this the focus of what they're trying to achieve now, because they've seen it in practice in the XFL.
Yeah, and it's kind of been like one of the guinea pig leagues, like the UFL now, the merger USL,
yeah.
USFL and XFL, like just trying to test out different innovations in and around football and seeing what it does, not only from a player safety standpoint, but the quality of the product that people are watching at home.
From an entertainment standpoint.
And I think that's the point.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, if the kickoff is a nothing play, then why are we even doing it? Why are we having this as a part of our game? Mm-hmm. Like the onside kick, because it was so hard to recover an onside kick, they're tweaking with that, potentially allowing teams to have the uneven alignments, having 6 guys on one side and 4 guys on the other side of the kicker, as opposed to a balanced 5-5. So I just think there are a lot of things that they're looking to kind of needle with, tweak, and see whether or not it makes a difference in terms of creating more theater, creating more drama, and ergo more entertainment.
They've made the decision that if something is either leads to injury to eliminate or alter, or if something is too easy or too hard to try to eliminate or alter, right? The kick, the extra point was deemed to be too easy, so they moved it back. What we're talking about with the onside kick is dangerous, I guess, and too hard to accomplish, so they're trying to do it maybe a little bit differently.
The brotherly shove.
That's the other one. They're not doing anything with that.
Well, it's not as if they didn't discuss it, but it just didn't get docketed for the owners to kind of go through it during their meetings. You know, so, I mean, I listen, the competition committee is made up of a lot of smart football minds, and I know Rich McKay is a very prominent figure within that. So I trust that they'll come to the right solutions. And here's the thing. If we don't like what we see, they're going to know that, and they're going to be open to changing it further. Like, the NFL, it feels like it's fail-proof right now. They can do no wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just they continue to be the most dominant team sports in all of North America.
You know, it's amazing. It's such a good point, because I'm thinking about this as it relates to the biggest story of the day, right? Which is Shohei Ohtani's link to a translator that owed $4.5 million in gambling debt per ESPN reporting, right?
Yes.
And I'm thinking about, well, if you applied that to the NFL, it would be an enormous story. We would all be talking about it, just like we are with Ohtani, and it would affect absolutely nothing.
No. It wouldn't.
It would affect literally nothing.
Watch football, people will still bet on football. Think about what happened with Calvin Ridley. Like, he was doing daily fantasy, and he was actually betting on NFL games through that vehicle. They suspended him for a year. He came back, and he just got a contract paying him $92 million from the Tennessee Titans.
He's good.
That just happened. That literally just happened days ago.
They are untouchable.
Is it fail-proof now?
I think
that's
it has
a dangerous
been.
Thing to say, right? Or, like, believe if you're them.
Here's the thing. Like, we say the gambling is the boogeyman when it comes to all of these other sports. With the NFL, I'm not sure that's the case. Like, concussions was the boogeyman for a decade, so much so they made a movie about it with Will Smith as the, Dr. Ben Omalu. But it's just, like, now that we've kind of moved past the concussion phase and there's been such a shift when it comes to the emphasis on player safety – I said, they can do no wrong, Ev. They can do no wrong.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know how we got to this place, but it happened. We're here now.
Yeah, we are a football-obsessed society. And it doesn't matter what the league does to maybe tell us that they don't care about us, the consumer or the fan. We don't care. We just want to sit down on Thursdays and Sundays and Mondays and watch the games.
Maybe if they told
that
us.
That's crazy.
Maybe
though.
Hypothetically.
It's like we told you
something.
We don't care about the players by how we tried to bury the concussion evidence, the concussion studies. We told you we don't care about women on numerous levels.
Yes.
Like it's just like we just keep telling you that we don't care about the fan base or their feelings about the guys that actually play this game and sacrifice their bodies in order to make these owners billions upon billions of dollars, and yet you're still going to come back and watch us.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to come back and watch. We got you.
And give us your money.
What if they told us what Smalls told us and that they don't take leftovers? If they're just like, we don't acknowledge leftovers, we don't eat leftovers. I may be turned off enough by the NFL to not watch. You don't take any leftovers. That's what we've learned about Smalls today.
I don't like leftovers.
Nothing. You go to a restaurant, you eat half of it, and you won't bring it home with you.
No, I'll give it to somebody else who wants it.
We learned that about her. We also learned that she's a travel snob.
And she has great teeth.
She's a travel snob, and she has great teeth.
Per my dentist. Yeah.
Look at she's extra smiling. Look at her.
She gonna get that Crest commercial. It's coming. It's
zero
coming.
Cavities, people.
She's gonna. She's doing all the endorsements for toothpaste.
Straight up.
Hi, I'm Michelle Smallman for
here
Crest.
Here for Oral-B.
We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.